December 9, Zechariah 11-4, 7, 10, 13, 14, 15, 17. Jesus says, never as in this moment, must I repeat to the one who represents me, feed my lambs. Many of them have become wild. But it is not entirely their fault, and for this reason they arouse pity in me. I had entrusted them to the powerful, so that they would take care of them. I had already given so much to the powerful, so that they would not want even more, and be good to those subject to them, who are not linked to the powerful except by God's mandate. In reality they are God's flock, God's children, and they should be cared for with respect and consideration of the true King, the Eternal whose people they are. They have instead used them like a herd without an owner. They have pushed them wherever they wanted to. They have nourished them with whatever food occurred to them, just to becloud their thinking, and make them forget good, by corrupting them with doctrines which I curse. They have turned them into their slaves who are denied even freedom of thought, and they have shoved them like sheep to the slaughter, for the sake of their criminal purposes regarding all mankind. All. The part which is country to them, and the part which is the country of others. They have enriched themselves, by exploiting the sacrifice of their subjects, thieves of the goods of God and man, which are the soul and existence, assassins of the former and the latter. Well then, from the height of the heavens, because of all the absinthe, being given as food to the masses and leading them to despair even of God, because of all the hunger the bodies and souls of my children are suffering from, and for the sake of those who in this ruin remain the lambs of God's flock and no passion changes them into rebels against God, like their seducers and masters, children of evil and forerunners of the Antichrist. I am coming with my word and my love, to feed the poor of my flock, and I repeat to you, who are my vicar. Feed my sheep by giving them the tireless word, and the blessings with which I have filled your innocent hand, which knows no blood except my blood, which you elevate on the altar as a rite of propitiation, and no gesture except that which was my own, in blessing those on whom you have mercy as I do. I have placed two rods in your hand, and you are dear to me, because you used the rod of love. But love, which exercises power even on the power of God, falls like pebbles hurled against rock, when it is directed towards some who resemble men, but are demons with a heart of granite. Strike, then, with the other rod, and may the faithful know that you are not an accomplice to the sins of the great. One also becomes an accomplice, when one does not dare to thunder against their foul deeds. Your master is not fond of curses and thunderbolts. But there are moments, when it is necessary to know how to use them to convince not the powerful, whose souls, possessed by Satan, are incapable of being convinced, but the poor of the world, that God and God's just ones do not approve, or support the methods and acts of overbearance of those who have overstepped all bounds, and think they are gods, when they are just unclean beasts. Speak, in the name of the justice you represent. It is time to. And may the masses know that my doctrine has not changed, and that there is one law, there is one God alone, and his first commandment is love, and he, as in the ages and ages preceding my coming, in which I confirm the law, gives the order not to steal, not to fornicate, not to kill, and not to take the belongings of others. Say so to the current thieves, who are not content with a purse, but steal souls from God and lands from peoples. Say so to the fornicators, the great fornicators at present, whose fornication is not the bestial kind with a female, but the demoniacal kind with political power. Say so to the killers at present, who arrogate to themselves the right to kill whole peoples after having killed in other peoples their own faith in God, honesty of any kind, and love for good. Say so to the insatiable at present, who, as avid as jackals, assault wherever what they like is to be found, and render all crimes licit for themselves provided they can take what is not theirs. To speak means pain and sometimes death. But remember me. I am more precious than joy and life, for I give whoever is faithful to me a joy and a life which have no end or limit. Remember me, who was able to purify my house of filthiness, and pursue a single goal straightforwardly. The glory of my Father, that earned me hatred, revenge, and death, for those stricken by my fury, found a corrupt individual who for 30 pieces of silver handed me over to their power. We always have, and among the most trusted an enemy a corrupt man. But it doesn't matter. The disciple is not greater than his master, and if I, knowing that the lash of my words, more than the lash of cords, more a symbolic means than a real one, was bringing me death, spoke, speak yourself. And if I, out of love for men and love for you, endured an enemy and a corrupt man, and the horror of a kiss of betrayal, you, the first among my children at present, must not draw back in the face of what your master suffered before you. For if afterwards, in spite of every means, justice should perish, and both the dominators and the dominated, carried away increasingly by Satan, should, out of malefic mimicry, detach themselves more and more from God, I will then remove light and truth. And this shall occur when even in my dwelling the church there are too many who, out of human self-interest and unworthy weakness, are among those dominated by the sowers of evil in their different doctrines. You shall then know the shepherd who does not take care of the abandoned sheep, the idle shepherd Zechariah speaks about. Remember John's apocalypse. Remember the dragon. The evil one begetting the future Antichrist, who prepares the former's kingdom, not only by unsettling consciences, but by sweeping away a third of the stars in his coils and turning the stars into mire. When this demoniacal vintage takes place in Christ's court, among the leading figures in his church, in the light reduced to a bare glimmer, and preserved as the only lamp in the hearts of Christ's faithful, for the light cannot die, I have promised, and the church, even in periods of horror, will preserve just that amount needed to become radiance again after the trial, the idle shepherd shall come, who shall be and shall remain where his master's will. Let whoever has ears to understand understand. For those alive at that time death will be a blessing. Later Jesus says, I think I have repeated a number of times, that one either believes, or does not believe, that my time is not measured by your measure, that those who believe without demanding proofs will be blessed. I now add that prophecy may go through periods of repetition, or apparent negation which later turn out, instead, to be only a trial sent by God for men's faith. All ancient and modern prophecies, I call those from Adam until my coming ancient, and those from my coming until the present, moment modern, for your 20 centuries are a fraction of an hour compared to my eternity, present points in which they appear to be mistaken, for, in your view they should have taken place in a given period and did not. But the eye of my servant, sees with my eye. You, on the other hand, see with yours. So that my servant, speaks or repeats in my name, and what you believe, has already occurred may be an event still, to take place in the future. This holds for all prophecies, including those of the greatest spirits. Even the perfect prophecy mine, may seem to be mistaken and contradicted by the facts to those looking with their human eyes. From the reading of the Gospels, wouldn't it seem, that the end of the world, follows shortly after the destruction of Jerusalem? But how many centuries have elapsed since then? And yet the end of the world, will be preceded by the signs I speak of, which have already seemed to be close, on so many occasions, to your ignorance and fear. I alone know the moment they will begin, and I do not deem it necessary to say when. Out of goodness too, towards those living at that time. You would certainly not want to think that I, the perfect prophet, because I was the repository of the secrets of the divinity, was mistaken. As you would not want to think that Peter, Paul, and, above all, John, who remained fused to his master even beyond the time of my stay among men, were mistaken. And doesn't Peter say, the end of all things is near? 1 Peter 4:7, and Paul. Those of us who remain alive until the Lord's coming, and, further, you well know that the one holding him back is the Lord, so that he will not be manifest before his time comes. The mystery of iniquity is already at work. It would seem, then, that the Antichrist was at work from that time on, and God simply did not let him manifest himself fully so, as to be burned to ashes by me. And he exhorts the Christians at that time to remain firm in faith, to withstand the iniquity at work. And, finally, doesn't my John, the most enlightened one, he to whom the heavens were made known with panoramas of events, to come known only to God, and to whom my heart was opened with all the most secret secrets, and the book which is so sublime, that it seems to have been written with a pen seized from an archangel with the words, the time is close, behold, I am coming soon. The one who attests to these things says, yes, I am coming soon. Now then, I say the same words to you as my saints said. Before the Lord one day is like 1,000 years, and 1,000 years, one day. It is not that the Lord is delaying, but he uses patience. There are things difficult to understand which the ignorant and unstable distort for their perdition. Oh, blessed are the believers and those content with no need for excessive proofs, Blessed are those who rest on the word of the Lord, even if it seems obscure to them, and do not procure for themselves the torments of Thomas, who suffered for more days than the others, because he did not believe in my resurrection, and for additional days, later, through repenting of not having believed except after having observed. Flee from foolish questions, genealogies, disputes, and battles, for they are useless and vain, as Paul says. Remember that John, a few lines later, says, even now there are already many antichrists. Hence we can understand that it is the final hour. I have not written to you as to those who do not know the truth, but as to those who know it, and know that no lie can come from the truth. Finally, I remind you that whoever repeats God's words, or speaks directly does not do so by human will, but inspired by the Holy Spirit, as St. Peter says in his second letter. On his own account, my spokesman is a poor nothing who never feels so much like a nothing as when I place a point of scripture before him and say, interpret it. He then resembles a little bird that has fallen into a net and is frightened. I, who scrutinize his heart, see it melt into wonder and trembling, like the heart of a student forced to respond to the examiner concerning what he does not know, and I like this not knowing of his, for it keeps him lowly and flexible, like a silken sail. As for the passages, it is useless to scatter them as food for reptiles, who may make use of them as a harmful weapon, and as a gag upon my little Christs. I have already stated, and repeat that a lot of prudence is needed, for you are living amid poisonous reptiles. Why do you want to satisfy foolish curiosity? I do not dictate what I dictate for your amusement, or to bend to your unhealthy thirst for knowledge of the future. When you know, do you perhaps change? No. Do not be liars or naive. You do not change. The upright spirits already have more than enough of what is said for all without lifting the deepest veils. The others. Oh, the others. When they do not make it an instrument to harm many, they make it an instrument to harm themselves, for they study, do not receive, but study my new word, exclusively with a human light and method. And didn't I say that this method is a slayer? I said, and if I do not get tired of repeating my doctrine, I do get tired of repeating my commands regarding the spokesman, that only when he is no longer in the world, will everything be known about his labor. Don't be impatient to make general expositions. He isn't. He doesn't care about being known and admired, because of both the effort and the mass of work. With tears of blood, he goes on letting you use the pages entirely his own, for the good of many, and out of love for me. He wants nothing else, because I don't want anything, and in my spokesman there is only one will, mine. In the dictations you have coffers with gems sufficient to make the world luminous. Why do you also want to extract the diamonds, which only in a few years can be handled without the forces of evil appropriating them to destroy them? Don't you realize you are in the hands of the enemies of Christ? The one who writes is led. But the one who copies, must be able to understand what should be made available to one alone, who, since he is, in turn, led by me, can understand and bless. Conserve, then, all the work of my spokesman until the time I indicate and give the world's poor, according to their condition, what should be given. And pray so as not to let yourselves be carried away by humanity in your choice. For the events of the day PM. Has already been able to observe the concomitantism, and can testify to it. Aside from this, I repeat, act as did the director of Benigna, who was in better times than these, and was holding less explosive material in his hands, I would say so, as to remain in character with the present time, full of explosions which do not involve so much chemical powders as infernal substances. Do not repeat the questions, because I will not answer. Do not seek to depart from the rule, because I will not bless. Take your work, and give it to my spokesman. He will give you the points which should not be made available to the curious and the wicked. I will guide him by the hand in choosing. It is children who instinctively sense danger, like little birds. And my spokesman is no less a child than I was in my mother's womb. I love him for this reason.